fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Fuel, the podcast for fixing underperformance and evolving leadership within the automotive industry. Fuel is bringing you the latest in proven strategies and techniques that can take your service department to the next level.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Fuel Podcast. I'm here with Mr. Go ahead and introduce yourself, brother.
I'm Victor Navarro, lead training and education coach with Downtown Software Sell Smart Program.
Yeah, I mean, you got a little bit of history. We know each other for a little bit, haven't we?
We have. We go quite a ways back.
Back in the days when I was peddling sales and stuff like that, I was trying to get your business, and you were just the nicest guy to tell me no.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it was a great relationship we had. You know, it was always a great conversation, and you know, never stemmed from anywhere, but as far as getting into the sales side of it, but it was always a great relationship. And like I said, getting to see you now as we both work with Dynatron has been just fantastic.
Yeah, I got you now. I got you.
You got me cornered.
I like the beard, man. It looks, I'm trying. It's not going to work for me. I'm not as lush, but it's coming in good, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I try to keep it tamed. You know, sometimes it's just like having a bad hair day. Fortunately, mine's at the beard.
So, you know, one of the things in your role and things of that nature is you really work close with advisors, you know, and with our Sell Smart program and things of that nature. But, you know, with this podcast, I think it's more of a bigger question or a bigger conversation is just how things have started to evolve and change for advisors with technology in the industry and in the overall, just the day to day with advisors. So let's take a step back, you know, let's do a real quick, you know, bio on you. Kind of where you were and how you kind of got to where you're at now. But let's go ahead and just jump into that. What do you got for me?
Yeah, so I've been in the industry for about 20 years now. Started as a detailer at a BMW body shop. From that point, went to tech school for just mechanics, learned a lot of different aspects from diagnostic to just overall repairs. Got out of it looking for a job. And when I was kind of looking to see how I changed into things, I got a role as an internal service advisor. Started doing just the new and used car side of things, writing those up, and then had the opportunity to fill in for main shop writing. Went through, did main shop service advising, spent most of my career with Nissan and Infiniti. And through that process, went from normal service advising, was a warranty administrator for a while, was a service manager, and then service director over the department itself there. And then, like I said, after that was about 15 years worth of time, I decided to just kind of step out and look to see how I could kind of give back to the industry. And the coaching side of it was something that I always loved about my role as a manager and director, of being able to pour into people and just seeing those aha moments click. So the Dynatron role came open and it seemed like a very natural fit for me.
Yeah, the hat rack is full from what I'm hearing. Plenty of hats there, man.
The hat rack is full, yes.
That's perfect. You know, so, and I mean, kind of in working from that internal side and then kind of rolling over to the customer pay side, you know, let's just walk through some experiences that you had as a service writer. You know, what were some of the things that you were able to pick up pretty quickly, but then what were the biggest struggles you saw as well?
You know, early on, it was the biggest struggle was kind of learning some of the technology, starting to get in the habit of trying to figure out how to write the repair orders themselves. You know, that was a bigger struggle. Once I had that down, the customer service side of it kind of for me came fairly easy. However, over the evolution of these last 20 years, there has definitely been a significant change in the expectation of clients. And now where you used to have a very different mentality from clients, where some of them weren't as looking for that luxury experience when they didn't buy luxury cars. Well, that's kind of been taken away a little bit because of price values, price points have all gone up on cars. Now everybody's kind of in that luxury mindset. So now what I see is a lot of advisors start to struggle with that customer experience side of it a little bit more because they just weren't used to it. If they've been in the same dealership for a long time, they maybe haven't evolved with the clients in the same way. So, you know, as I've kind of grown through my career, that was something that I was very hyper aware of, that as, you know, I was hiring new advisors, they had to kind of embrace that side of the, it's about the customer mentality, it's not just about the car kind of thing. And so that was definitely something that I see has been a big transition. Now, the technology was a lot simpler when I first started writing. Now, between all of the text messaging platforms, the video multipoints, the different pictures, all of the different software that's been coming into the stores, it's a lot for a new advisor to take on. And so, getting a training process in place for your advisors to just be able to write up a repair order is significantly harder than what it used to be. So now not only do you have to have customer service training, you also have to have all these different little softwares that they have to be efficient at, all the extended warranty platforms. So there's a lot on an advisor's plate that, frankly, in those first month, 2 months of them even writing a ticket, there's a lot of stress for them to even just understand what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you bring up a great point, and we've talked about this a couple times on previous podcasts I've had, but one of the things that we always get into when we talk about value, when we talk about it, advisors and stuff, is having the realization that for some people this is either the biggest or the second biggest investment that they've made in their lives. So it,
Absolutely.
that's something to carry with it. It doesn't matter what the make, model, or vehicle is. I mean, that to that person, that's that luxury vehicle. That's their vehicle that they can maintain. So having that mindset going into it, and then again, it's advising. We're advising the customer and that kind of stuff. So, how hard was it
Absolutely.
to see or to train advisors from your standpoint as a manager and now in the role that you're in now, but to kind of get that concept of, look, we're not here just to push, push, push. It's an advising mentality for their investment of their vehicle. So how do you think you kind of approach
Absolutely.
that with somebody?
So I think there's kind of two points to that is, as a manager training, it's a very hard role to balance because as a manager leading a department, you have so much more on your plate than just training an advisor, just training a technician on proper aspects of a multi-point. There's a lot that goes on that side of it. So you do feel a lot of overwhelmed kind of factors coming at you when you're looking at the training side of it. So having somebody that can be dedicated to looking at training for you is big. There's a lot of big groups out there that have corporate trainers, and that's all that they worry about is coming in to train your people up there because they realize that managers alone, a lot of times, aren't able to do it. They need somebody to kind of share in that responsibility. Now, when we look at how that's kind of evolved into how do you get somebody to understand that it's about the customer side of it? It's a big investment. There's a lot of accountability that has to be done with, you hear it a lot, the cliche of inspect what you expect. But truly, you have to. If you have the ability to stand by your advisors to listen to how they're speaking to your customers, listen to the phone calls, look at their communications through text message. All of these things are so relevant because, I mean, you've got not just what they're saying, but how they're saying it, what style of communication they're using to say it. All of that stuff goes so far. So you have to be able to be, in essence, a coach to those people to be able to kind of root them in the right direction and continue to feed into them what those practices are. There's a lot of great self books out there to go through, like The Experience that talks about how Disney looks at client services and those types of things. And you really have to understand that it's about making an experience for your customer because you kind of said it, the second most expensive investment in most customers' lives are sitting in your possession. And if you just treat it like, okay, you're just buying a set of headphones there. If you
Yeah.
try to rank those on the same thing where you just bought something, well, you've already lost that perception of the customer. Like, this is their baby. So when you have to look at making an experience for those customers, it starts with setting the stage. You have to, as a manager and as a director, you have to be in that position to know, like, this is the expectation of employment that we show that our customers are so valued that they want to come back to us. I tell advisors all the time, the win for you is if you can get a customer to say, hey, I'm going to see Victor at the dealership, not I'm just going to see the dealership or I'm just going to take my car in, because now you've made that personal connection. And that's what really elevates it. You made that lasting mark on them. So, I mean, it starts with the manager being able to say, I need more help sometimes. And that's a big ask because in this industry, unfortunately, being that transparent isn't always seen as a good thing. But let's face it, we put a lot of people out on an island in this business. And so the more help we can offer them, the better it is for not just them, but for the whole business as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, when you buy a car, what does a salesperson do? Hand you his card. Call me if you need anything. And that
Absolutely.
aspect of, even walking somebody, if you're doing the cashiering yourself, or if you're walking them to the cashier's desk, and then just having that, I mean, everybody's people. At the end of the day, we're all still people, and things of that nature. So I think that's a great point. But then kind of rolling back, you said managers have so much on their plate. They really do, right? Especially with growing technologies and ongoing training and things of that nature. What would be the easiest, like if you go into a store to do training with SaleSmart and you're talking to that manager and he's like, I just don't know how to find time to do these things you're telling me. They're great things to tell me or to tell my people to do. I just can't find the time. Like, what is the best first step if a manager doesn't have help, but he needs to start putting a focus on this? How do you kind of guide him, and what is that first step?
Well, the first step is not trying to look at it as such a big task to take on. Start small. Well, so many times if you look at what a manager is doing in their day-to-day life, it already has little bits of ability to influence those things. So one thing that I always try to really encourage managers to do is a daily RO review. Many times they're doing it only for warranty purposes. All that they're looking for is, do I have my signatures? Do I have my three C's? Did the technician make sense in his comments? All of those types of things. Well, you already have a stack of repair orders. Take it to the next level. Spend that little bit of time to look, okay, what was the quality of customer pay multi-point inspections? You're not looking at trying to add in a whole new process to your stuff. You're starting small with what you already have. Those times when you come in the morning, if you're just going straight to your office and you lock the door, you sit down behind the desk there because you just know that you're going to be in for a battle for the day. Okay, well, you kind of miss the opportunity to show face on the drive. Those little bits of when you walk from wherever you're parking at through the drive, through the shop, and actually making those points to listen to how customers are reacting, just being observant, those little tasks go so far. Because then when you have just a little bit of a coaching opportunity once a week, even if you can't do daily meetings with your team, once a week, even just to say, hey guys, I'm just going to check in. How are things going with you? Being present is so much more of an impact to advisors than probably anything else that you can do. Because if they see that you're on their team and not just the guy in the ivory tower, it goes so much further. So my biggest piece of advice is start small. Look at the things that you're already doing, and how can you just make a small tweak? So it doesn't take, 30 hours a week, just a small tweak to say, can I look at these? Because let's face it, the multi-point inspections have such a vital part in our business of sales, of being able to take care of our customers. And that's really a missed opportunity in so many shops that I've seen where the quality of a multi-point is missed. If you have all your ROs in front of you, why wouldn't you want to know that when a car leaves your shop, everybody involved in the process did everything they possibly could to make sure it's there. So again, it starts with just an inspection to say, are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? If not, then you can course correct as you need to, but you're already in the habit of some of these things. So just continue it in a better, a little bit more refined process.
Yeah, I mean, I had a good conversation with a guy the other day, and he was like, I'm out there, man. I'm out there, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, well, physical presence is a good thing. Yeah, you're there. Okay, you're not on a boat somewhere. You're not fishing somewhere or something like that. So physical
Right.
presence is a great thing to start with, but you need to be mentally present. And I think starting small is
Absolutely.
a good aspect to kind of come with that. But let's expand on, you said you need to ask for help, right? So
100%.
one of the things I know that you guys are doing a better job of is talking to general managers as you go into the stores. And what is their expertise? Most of the time,
Most of the time, it's on the variable side. You don't
it's
have
on
a
the
lot of
variable
fixed
side.
experience.
That's right. So it's on the variable side. So having the GM come out there, be physically present and mentally present, and then being able to give his feedback, where do you say, that's important, or do you say, it's something you could have?
I say it's a very important part of it because, so many times you do see it where the general manager might just walk through to say hi at the highest level, but they, like you said, it's one thing to just be there. It's another thing to physically be present. If that general manager is on the lane, getting to kind of, so to speak, be shoulder to shoulder with the team to see what struggles there are. I mean, when you're trying to make that call to say, maybe we need to look at a BDC, or maybe we need to look at marketing because we're slow. If you're not seeing it with your own eyes, sometimes you don't really get the full effect of what that means to your team. When you see that everybody is on the lane at the same time helping customers, the phones are ringing off the hook. Well, it's one thing to say, oh, the phones are always ringing. And the couple of times that you might walk through the drive that, oh, well, everybody's sitting around on their phone, this, that, or the other. Well, if you spend a little bit more time, and again, it doesn't have to be an all-day event, but if you're there 15, 30 minutes at a snapshot of the busy times to see how things are functioning when they really are full force, everybody's going what they're supposed to be doing. That tells you a lot. And you really get to understand with your management team underneath you as a general manager to say, okay, how can I help you support that? Because I've yet to walk into a store or experience a general manager who just wants to say, "All right, my service manager's out on an island by himself. I hope he, hope he figures it out on his
Yeah,
own."
just figure it out.
No, right. They want to help, but sometimes they just don't know. They're entrusting that their service manager, their fixed operations director, service directors are able to have all the ideas to come up with it. But sometimes they need a sounding board. And you know what? A general manager has a lot of experience to see how things have worked on the sales side of it. And let's face it, there's a lot of similarities between fixed and variables that we don't always discuss, but they kind of go hand in hand in a lot of those aspects. And so there's some things that have worked in like a finance menu presentation that maybe the general manager could offer some assistance on the sale or on the service side of it and make things change for the better. So being present is a is an almost must in every service department for a general manager.
Yeah, I had a great comment by a GM one time when we were talking about it and him talking about his presence on the lane. He says, "I don't want to see a fire drill. I want to see a very nice choreographed ballet of flow and everything of that nature." And so I thought it was a good way
I
of
like
putting it in perspective. I mean,
that.
because sometimes it feels like a fire drill when we're out there and, the salesman's coming back and the tech's coming up and the customer's here and the phone's ringing and I got to go here and things of that nature. So I think it's imperative to be able to put some structure behind it. And I think
Absolutely.
going a step further, as far as general managers, I mean, the aspect for a general manager in that essence would be the ability to just close your eyes, just close your eyes. And when you start talking about a sales process, when you start talking about that in mentality, it doesn't matter if a salesperson or a service writer is standing in front of you, it's relatable. So if you take
Absolutely.
somebody who's a GSM, right? Because we hear that sometimes. I'm not a fixed guy. I'm just GSM, that kind of stuff. If you were going to walk them through how they can start relating, right? Like the mentality of, yeah, I know you're general sales manager and I know you're not really on the fixed op side and we're going to get you trained up on that, but how do you kind of walk them into bringing that variable mindset into the service lane? How do you walk them through that?
So it's funny that you asked that. There's so many dealerships that I've been on site and I've been in their training rooms, and I see, in the training room, it's almost always geared towards your salesman. There's very few times that it's geared towards your service salespeople. And so what ends up happening is we walk in and I see on the board the 8 steps for every customer interaction on the sales side of it. And it always starts with the greeting. Hey, nobody goes on our lot, they're not greeted for it. It's no different than somebody pulling up on a service drive. Here it is.
Exactly.
We talk about, okay, well, we're going to do a needs assessment. Well, guess what? When a customer comes in, what are we doing? We're checking their history. We're looking at what they're here for. We're doing a needs assessment on the service side as well. Maybe different questions that we're asking. We're not finding out, is it a family of four? Okay, so you getting a two-seater coupe isn't the best idea. But in reality, we have the same step there. We start looking at every process that you go through. We talk about doing a walk around to the customer for a trade appraisal on the sales side of it. Well, guess what? We're not necessarily doing a trade appraisal on the other side of it, but when you do a trade appraisal, you're asking, you're talking, you're discussing different things as you go around it. You start to build rapport with the customer. So we talk about when we're on the service drive there, as you're walking around it, it's not just for you. Are you going to find damage? Yes. But if the only reason that we're doing a walk around is to find damage on the service side, man, we're missing the mark. There's so much opportunity to get to know the customer in their comfort zone. Because let's face it, once we pull them into the dealership, they're out of their comfort zone. They're in our space now. We're comfortable, but now they're on that edge. So as you go down the list of, I mean, it doesn't really matter what process it is, you're talking about all of the different aspects of what works in sales is what's working in service as well. You go through and you discuss the different terms of financing, how you can meet the needs for monthly payment, whatever the case is, whatever the budget is going to be. Well, on the service side, there's several times where you may see a several thousand dollar estimate. But what do you have to do? You have to find ways to find a budget. You have to find ways, maybe you do have financing options, maybe you don't, but you're going to prioritize, well, what needs to be done first, second, or third. So there's a lot of similarities when you walk through that whole process, even down to the very end of follow-up. On the sales side of it, you're trying to make those follow-up calls after you've made the sale, check in with them. Hey, you understand everything? I know you've had a couple of weeks with the car, a couple of days with the car. How's everything working? Get the garage door set up. Well, on the service side, we should be doing the exact same thing. Hey, just, everything's back to you. I know we had the service taken care of. Maybe it was a brake fluid exchange. Maybe it was a coolant service. Just want to make sure your car's still running great. Everything you expected? Outstanding. Anything that you need from me? Any questions that you have? It's that final touch, because if we're missing any of these steps along the way from greeting to follow-up, we're kind of losing out. So Sometimes we treat them as two very different things, sales and service.
Yes.
But really, all that's different is the product that we're discussing. We're still having to sell something across the way, but let's face it, when we're selling on the service side of it, we're looking at people that are coming in for hoping that this investment that they've already made is going to last because of what they've done. So we have to make sure that it's a trusting and a very understanding relationship from the client to the service advisor. On the sales side of it, you've got this excitement of somebody coming in looking to purchase the vehicle. Okay, well, in either case, again, all we're doing is talking different products, but we're trying to meet the need of it. One's excited because they're looking at something new and shiny. The other one is they're hoping that new and shiny product can last them forever. So we're just trying to meet them at the same level there, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And I struggled. I had some struggling moments as a service writer. You get in those lulls, you're beat up a little bit, you're wore out, you're just trying to get to the day in some aspect of it. And then another person comes on the drive, and then another person comes on the drive, and you're like, oh, here's another one, and that kind of stuff. And so
Absolutely.
I kind of struggled with it, and I really leaned on my dad. He's, been in the business since I was born and that kind of stuff. And so his aspect was, is you got to change your mentality. You got to change it. And I thought something that was really cool he brought to me was, when they come in that lane, they're there to see you. They are there to see you. They came to see you to take care of their vehicle. They come to see you.
Yep.
And so that's it's kind of trying to change my perception. Again, like you said, we're people too, and things of that. And so I think, once you have kind of the manager involved and doing his steps, when you have the general manager involved, kind of giving that support and the steps, now we go to the advisor. Now we're to the advisor. So in your experiences, you're working with these advisors one-on-one, while you're talking to them about their processes, the importance of MPI and all this other stuff. How do you start to work with an advisor? Right. And taking them down that path of being maybe consistent in a process or things of that nature. But when you start to get one-on-one, we've got our support, I've got your manager and your GM involved. How do you start to work with an advisor?
Well, the first thing is finding out, what's important for them. Like, let's face it, the service advisory role is one of the most stressful roles in the entire dealership, and so you have to find out why are they here to begin with. You have to find out what's important to them. And a lot of times what it breaks down to is, they enjoy talking with people. They enjoy the interaction that they get with people, and they feel like they get to be that confidant of the customer coming in. The struggle that they end up facing that I've run into a lot is that they feel that by bringing up service to clients, that they're somehow not doing right by the customer. And it's really, I think, a poor communication in what we've done as an industry to say, oh, we have to upsell every client. We have to, hit them over the head. Like, that's kind of the perspective that a lot of younger advisors have coming into this business, is like, well, I'm expected to, just sell them everything, whether they need it or not. And truly, that's not the case. If that's what your kind of role is expecting, is like, oh, we just need to sell them everything regardless if they need it, we're really missing the mark on customer service. That should never be the case. We're here to take care of their needs. Like you said, the customer's coming in to see me. I want that relationship to last for as long as I'm in here. I'm not going to build a relationship by taking advantage of customers there. It all starts with being able to say, this is what the vehicle is needing. We only are trying to advise them what they need. And so if we can get the advisors to understand that by making sure that the customer leaves knowing every bit of the health of their vehicle, whether or not they do it is entirely in the hands of the customer. We're not spending their money for them. We're not stroking the check there. We just have to communicate the importance of what it is that it needs, the reasons why, or what could happen if they don't do it. The reasons why it's important for longevity of the vehicle. We want to make sure that they're understanding, if you tell me as a customer, if you tell me that I'm planning to keep this car for 200,000 miles, well, then I need to put a game plan in place for you to get there. I relate it to service advising no different than if you were like a financial planner and you were to say, hey, you know what? I'm looking to retire at the age of 55. Well, I'm not just going to say, okay, well, give me money. I'm going to see what happens. No, I'm going to very specifically structure a plan to say, in order to reach that goal, you need to do X, X, and X at this point. These are the milestones that we're going to hit. Well, the relationship with the service advisor to a customer is no different. You're coming in with your vehicle telling me you want to get X amount of miles out of it or X many years out of it. I have to meet those same needs. So when I speak to an advisor, it's making sure that they understand that that is your role. Your role is to be the person that can be trusted to say, here's my baby. Here's the second most important investment that I've made in my life. I need you to take care of it. If all I ever do as an advisor is fix something that's broke, but never prevent it from breaking, how much value did I just add to that customer? Nothing. You know, it's kind of like I'm being reactive. Oh, it's broke. Okay. Can it be seen as I'm trying to save you money? Okay. Yeah, you could spin it as I'm trying to save you money, but did you really? If you never told them that they needed to have the transmission fluid exchanged in their vehicle every 30,000 miles, and now they have a transmission problem, did you really save them anything? No. So breaking down those barriers of, yes, service is a sales business, but it's more about the relationship. We're going to end up with sales. That's going to be there. If we take care of our customers, if we show up for them, if we meet their needs and prioritize the way that we need to and build those relationships, the sales will follow. That's going to be the benefit of having such a good client. So, you know, breaking that wall down for advisors and just letting them know that just because you've been doing this for, you know, a year doesn't mean you're a veteran at this. You know, there is still so many things that are going to come at you. Like I mentioned earlier, all the different technologies, all the warranty companies, the wheel claims, the tire claims, all those different things that come at you. Within a year's time, you may not have even seen everything yet. So let's face it, you're going to still be developing habits. Working with those senior advisors that are on your team as well, that's a big help too, because let's face it, you know, customers are different than they were 20 years ago, but you have a lot of experience that you can share how things work, you know, how you can connect with somebody. Because just saying, hey, this is broken and needs to be replaced doesn't go very far. You kind of want to know the why about it. You know, what exactly is it? People do want to be educated about it and they want to know what's going on because let's face it, everybody has a smartphone now. It's not like you can lie your way through something. They're going to say, okay, well, what's an oxygen sensor? Right. They're going to find out. So you have to self-invest a little bit as an advisor to know, like, I have to know what I'm talking about here because it's your reputation on the line. You know, if you start lying to customers, you're not going to be in the business long. You know, the one thing that I can guarantee you is that the car business is a very small world. Everybody knows everybody. If you start lying to customers and stealing and cheating customers, everybody's going to know about you very, very quickly. So again, it's just you've got to take this as a career because it's not something you're going to pick up in a 2 to 3 month process or a year or even 2 years. It's something that you've got to work at a while. So again, it's one of the most stressful jobs, but it is so much fun when you can connect with the customers. You know, I always tell stories. Like I said, I was at the dealership for 15 years that I was at, and it's amazing to see, you know, the customers bringing their cars, then they have kids, then you start to see them coming back to shop for the cars for the kids, and it's like, man, this is amazing. And like you get to see them grow up and go through. So it's an amazing opportunity to get to know people. So if you love people, it's fantastic. You know, I see so many restaurant workers or retail sales from, you know, it could be a sales associate from a Kohl's or a Belk's, something like that. Like you see a lot of those customer service facing industries that are now we're able to pick up them and become advisors. Well, it's because it's customer service. If you love talking with people, that's hard to teach. So if you've got that, it's a win. So now, how can I help you to embrace the side of taking care of a customer's vehicle is helping them?
Yeah,
That's what we work through.
I mean, nothing better than somebody coming in, throwing you in the keys, and telling me when it's ready. I mean,
Absolutely.
and it just builds it. And I absolutely love something that you said, and I got to reiterate this because I never thought of it that way. Is when you look at a customer and you're starting to build a plan for that customer, that's cool. I mean, that's definitely taking it to the next level and understanding their needs and understanding how you can benefit that customer. 'Cause some people,
Absolutely.
a $2,000 repair outweighs a $600 car payment every month, you
Absolutely.
know? And especially now with the way vehicles are going and things are going, I mean, a lot of people are hanging on to their vehicles. They're investing in that and making sure that vehicle's up. And so, I mean, being able to talk, understand, and to be able to generate a path and a plan for a customer, that's a great way of explaining that for an advisor to kind of take that to the next level. So You know, with all of these technologies that we're having coming out and things of that nature, you know, we're seeing texting becoming a huge thing, of course, you know, and that kind of stuff. Would you say it's easier now for an advisor to communicate to a customer than was 15 years ago, right? Is it easier now to communicate with a customer, or is it the same?
It's different. You know, I would say it's easier to educate the customer because you have the ability to send pictures, videos. So when the customer's not there, it's easy. But you have a little bit more where now you have technicians that are telling the story through the videos, through the pictures, whatever they're showing. So they're doing a little bit more of the communication. And unfortunately, what I see is that it has allowed advisors to kind of take a little bit of a back seat sometimes. Well, the problem is that when it comes to explaining and those types of things, it is a little bit of a struggle. So, you know, just because we have the technology in place doesn't mean you don't have to still educate yourself about all of those things. So it's different now. It is easier because if you have a customer who you want to get in touch with, well, if you've started the interaction with, how would you like to be contacted? You can call, email, text. Let's face it, everybody's available. You know, one of the things is I'm in classroom training sessions or shoulder to shoulder with advisors on service drives almost every day. If I were to drop my car off for service, the chances of you calling me and actually getting in touch with me are slim. You're not going to get me most of the
I got
time,
a
you know.
job
You,
too, man.
right. Like I'm going to be, you'll be lucky if I call you back after hours to leave you a message when I get back to the hotel room kind of thing. So, you know, for me, it's text. You look at how quickly people respond to text. It's amazing. You know, even if you're in a meeting between smartwatches, between just your cell phone, everybody kind of takes a quick peek. You see, okay, I got to get back to that one. But if you're leaving a message there, I hear it on service drives all the time. Well, I left the customer a voicemail, and then you finally get the customer in front of you. Oh, I never checked my voicemails on almost a daily basis. So that just tells me, well, why didn't we ask them, what's the best form of communication for you? Like you said, we have platforms that exist only to communicate to customers. Why aren't we utilizing it? If you aren't texting your customers and that's the way that they prefer to be communicated to, then why would we ever put the blame on the customer for not getting back to us when we've had a repair on hold for 2 hours, 3 hours, and the technicians that stand at your desk, have you heard anything back from the customer yet? Have you heard anything? Well, no, I left a message. Well, maybe that's not the best way to communicate with them. So it's different. You know, it is easier because there's a lot more avenues to communicate, but it's different because we have to take a different approach to it. We have to be able to encompass the side of how that customer wants to be done. Because what's convenient for us isn't always convenient for the customer. And let's face it, we're here for the customer. But the other side of it is once you start embracing text messaging to your customers, if that's a good way to communicate to them, all the time that you spend on hold with an extended warranty company, well, guess what? You can update 30 customers pretty quick when you're texting them, when you're just sitting there on hold doing nothing else. So it's a, like I said, it's just so easier to communicate, yes, but the advisor has to take charge to actually utilize those tools as well.
Then some extended warranty company update some music or something for us, man, or play something in the background a little bit. I remember sitting on the phone for hours. It felt like, you know, 5 minutes is like an hour. And so,
Oh, it
and
is.
then we got stuff we
That
got to
elevator
do.
music
So,
sounds.
you know, so let's fast forward here. All right. You've got a seasoned service advisor. Okay, this guy's been doing it. He's pretty proficient in what he does and how he does it. So one of the things that I found myself doing when I got pretty seasoned at doing it, how do you handle somebody who kind of starts to go out of their lane? How do you kind of refocus them? We got some people who are able to pull codes on lanes and stuff like, that's a wheel speed sensor you're gonna probably need. So how do we train advisors that even though they may have the knowledge, right? That's not your job. Let's stay in your lane, right? Let's stay in your lane. So when you're dealing with that, and as you kind of roll into that, how do we kind of take, hey, we're not diagnosing on the lane, but I got it right here. I know it. No. We're not diagnosing on the lane. We're advising, but we're not diagnosing. We have people that are professionals at that. Have you run into that, or how do you kind of train to that if you're kind of trying to just get them back, not really just hit them over the head, but just kind of redirect them back in their lane?
I do run into
Is
it
that
and I
something you
do
run
see
into?
it. It is. I do see it fairly regularly and I relate it very much to Similar, like if you were to go to an auto parts store and they've got the free code pull, and all they're doing is pulling a code and saying, "Oh, well, this is what you need." The problem is our
Yeah.
vehicles are so advanced now that just because the code says bank one lien, and you've seen, maybe a dozen cars come in with the same, quote unquote, same repair for it, doesn't necessarily mean that there's not going to be an underlying issue, between water causing corrosion, between even just a bent pin on a harness or something that's causing higher or lower resistance than expected. There's so much more that goes into it that you almost can't be certain when you pull a code to say, "Oh, this is what it is." So it's not, again, like you said, it's not beating them over the head to say, "Nope, stay in your lane. You're not allowed to plug anything in." Because let's face it, you look at, anything that's on the Mopar side of it there with YAdvisor, you're getting a code printout every time. Whether you're searching for it or not, you're getting it. You've got so many of these different, e-advisor, all the different potting tools that are out there, Savvy, that they're doing all of this stuff to pull data, which is great, but that's really just needs to be just a conversation. Hey, here are some of the items that we're looking at here. I've got to have an experienced technician look at these things. It's going to look at da 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 da, go through your diagnostic conversation with them, all of those things. But you have to let the technicians do their role, because the one time that you misguess what it is on the lane there, you're hurting your relationship with that customer. So it's not a,
You've already
"I
put it
wouldn't
out there.
trust you." Yeah, you have. And so they're holding you to it. You're thinking, "Okay, it's going to be a $300 repair." Okay, well, lo and behold, it ends up being a wiring harness. That's not a $300 repair in anybody's world anymore. So you've got to be able to, and yes, stay in your lane is kind of the best thing, because you want the people who are getting paid to do the diagnosis to diagnose the vehicles. And truly, it's just because there's so many variables that happen with all this new technology and all the sensitivity of the new sensors that you have to kind of let them go through the proper channels to make sure it's there.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's perfectly put, and it's not like being rude, in a sense
No.
of saying you can't do it, but it's being knowledgeable of like, this is my job, this is what I'm going to do. Let me verify it first before I talk to you about it and put it out there.
Absolutely. Yep. That's all it is. Like I said, we can talk about it. You can talk about it at a high level of there's some possibilities, but unfortunately, there's no way to know until somebody verifies what's going on.
Yeah,
Like you
he's
said,
like,
it's just
here's a
you've
certain
got to
code.
stay
Let
in
me
your
check your gas cap real quick.
lane.
It's crazy
Exactly.
how many times I've seen that come through, and it was like it's just the gas cap that's throwing this code off. And especially now with vehicles and how they communicate with each other, and one little fault can put you in limp mode, and
Oh,
then you just
absolutely.
and it's I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, "I never thought I'd have to treat my car like a computer and just shut it off and let it restart at that aspect
Yep.
of it." So it's
Oh,
impressive on how it's come.
I've had that conversation so many times, because when you look at all of the new infotainment centers and vehicles,
Yeah.
and you'll see concerns of them rebooting at random times. It may only happen once or twice here or there, but you see a lot of different ones. And you have to almost have that conversation with customers of, when was the last time you had to reboot your cell phone because it didn't work right? Or when was the last time you had to restart your computer because, a window just wouldn't close properly there, or you had a glitch in this? And it's like, you have to realize the amount of computer modules that are inside a vehicle are absolutely insane nowadays.
Yes.
And then on top of that, the amount of speed at which you expect them to communicate from not just, okay, it's been running for 30 minutes, but the amount of times that you foot on the brake, hit the button, and you're immediately going over to hit something on the radio. Like, you've expected this all to happen in a matter of 0.2 seconds as you've just hit that button. And let's face it, we're expecting a lot out of these vehicles. We expect them to work perfectly every single time. But the unfortunate side of it is, as technology grows, there's learning curves. So you have to still be sensitive to the customer on that side of it, because they're expecting it to work perfectly, because while their cell phone may have only cost them $1,000 and this car cost them 60, 70, 80, $90,000, they're not seeing it in the same light, even though we might. So you still have to be sensitive to those concerns and be able to deliver that message of, we want to treat it as a priority. And the manufacturers do know it, because usually if there is something where it randomly reboots, it's not a, "Oh, well, nope, that's normal. That's how it's designed to be. No, they understand that there needs to be a tighter tolerance on some of those things. But we on the front line as advisors have to be able to understand like that's a major deal for some of these customers. And so we have to be in the side of it's my priority. I'm going to make sure we get that taken care of and make sure we communicate the importance to them in that same light.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, so as we kind of like wrap up this episode here, one of the things I love to do, Victor, is every time with my guest, I like to give them the final say, putting whatever they want to put out there as far as, to the customer, to anybody who's listening that is in an industry, that's not in the industry and things of that nature. So to give out there, really focusing on advisor training, like we talked about, getting the GM, giving the service manager a path, getting them involved in the process, making it relatable, then getting to the advisor, giving them the understanding that, this is a person to person type relationship, regardless of if it's just text messaging and people don't even look up from their phone
Right.
from time to time. It's still people helping people at, and it's still a service industry. So it's kind of the final say and throwing something out there, what would you kind of give back to the community saying, hey, if you're focused around advisor training, this is something that you can look at.
I would say if you're focused around advisor training, it starts with admitting that there is areas to improve. If you've been in this for 30 plus years, or if you've just been in it for 2 months, there's areas to improve. Again, my role with Dynatron is part of our Sell Smart program, and we specify just specifically in advisor training. We come alongside to help grow those advisors, and we've seen it from, again, that brand new hire to that seasoned advisor, and we have been able to offer help in all of those. So we have a great program, but even outside of us, self-improvement is always great. There's so many books out there. There's so many different podcasts like this one that you're listening to that allows you to just grow in what peer knowledge between who you can reach out to. Again, admit that there's some area where you need help and then just reach out. Again, there's so many times where we feel like we're on an island in this industry. Don't hesitate to reach out. Truly, the better that we can work together. I mentioned it earlier, it's a small world. Chances are you know somebody that's been at a couple of different dealerships, or multiple people at different dealerships. Reach out, see how things are done differently. We get blinders on and we realize, oh, this is the only way that I know how to do service. The industry is massive, but it's a small world. So we have to be able to be willing to accept the fact that we may not know and we have to reach out. So again, Dynatron has several avenues of coaching with it, from management through advisor. And honestly, we have a great program, but there is just a lot that goes into it. But the first step is truly just admitting that there's some area where there's help that you need help in.
And you guys are boots on the ground, right? You're going into the store.
We are, yes. So we are in stores. We do a hybrid of in-store, virtual, and then on-demand training online as well. So we are in front of your advisors every single month. And so we get to know them. There's additional reporting that we use through the Dynatron software itself to help coach and train the advisors on. Like I said, we do best practices. We go boots on the ground, shoulder to shoulder, to make sure that the practice is there. We really invest in the wooden method to say, not just are we going to tell you, not just are we going to show you, but we're going to be alongside with you to do it. And we're going to make sure we continue to repeat it until we get it perfected. So yes, it is a very intensive process. And we involve not just the advisors, we bring the managers into it there, any fixed operations, and then also the general manager, owners, to make sure that they're a part of it, to understand what this looks like to be succeeding. And that's really where it comes from.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, this will conclude this episode of the podcast today. Victor, man, I really appreciate you coming on. Think you'll come back?
Thank you. I think I will. Yeah, you're not too far away from me anyway, so maybe next time we'll have to run out and grab lunch to do it then.
Yeah, I'll just drag you somewhere. Here we go.
There you go.
Drag you by the beard.
There you go.
All right, Victor. Thanks again, brother. Thank you for joining another episode of the Fuel Podcast. Always be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to be notified when new episodes are being dropped. And click the link below to review any of the show notes for additional information. Or you can email the Fuel Podcast with the link, as we encourage any feedback or any questions or comments from our listeners. Until next time, I'm your host, Alex Keith, with the Fuel Podcast for fixing underperformance and evolving leadership.